Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
It is in these times of absolute crying out unto God that we learn what conformity to Christ really is about.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about bitterness. This message was recorded during a family camp in 2011. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, bitterness.
Turn to Ruth chapter 1. And we're going to see in the story of Naomi tonight, a story of making a wrong choice under pressure, and God, by His grace, doing a rescue. There's a book here called The Red Sea Rules, and this is by Robert Morgan. It's Thomas Nelson Publishers, called The Red Sea Rules, 10 God-given strategies for difficult times. And number one, realize that God means for you to be where you are. And you cannot think, well, I'm not where I'm supposed to be here. Be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. Very crucial in the midst of pressure. Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. I think we see when Elisha was there, and Elisha could see the hosts of the Lord, but they still acknowledged the presence of the enemy, but their eyes were focused, and obviously pray. And oftentimes this pray is crying out unto the Lord. Stay calm and confident and give God time to work. These are from the life of Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea. You can't go backwards, you can't go sideways, and you can't go forward, so you have to look up. And you have to stay calm and confident. When unsure, just take the next logical step by faith. You know, oftentimes when we get under pressure, we get to a point where we make a step that is a step of fear, not a step of faith. And that always will get us into trouble. Envision God's enveloping presence. Moses looked up. There was an answer. Trust God to deliver in His own unique way. And the key word there is unique. Because when we see there is no answer, then what can we do? And God showed Moses in His own unique way. And you study the Exodus and study God taking His people across the Red Sea. Then view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. You might be under a particular crisis, whether it's health or whatever it might be. And view that as a faith builder for the future that will lead you into conformity to Christ. And then don't forget to praise Him. And you'll see that song of praise that is so evident. I thought I'd just throw those in as an introduction tonight as we look in Ruth chapter 1. And I want to speak on the topic of bitterness. There are two kinds of bitterness that are evident. One, very prominent, is relational bitterness. The other one is circumstantial bitterness. And I think the best case study of relational bitterness is Shimei in relationship to David. And there's a long story behind all of that, but you see Shimei cursing the king and casting stones at the king. Direct disobedience to the law and directly against common sense. David's mighty men were there. They're feathering their swords. And these guys kill Philistines for aerobics on the way home from work. And they're saying, let me take the dead dog's head off. And yet we see Shimei. If those of you who do any counseling at all, if you do a case study of Shimei, you will find all of the marks, including the lack of clear thinking and logic when bitterness takes over the life. But I'm going to study tonight circumstantial bitterness, and we'll find that we do understand this. Satan, I believe, is begging God for permission to prove that we are hypocrites. I believe he is begging for permission to prove that we are not what we claim to be. And with Paul, we find there was a physical element involved in one of those. With Job, it was circumstantial. And with Peter, psychological. When he finally came to a breaking point and he realized that he was indeed what Christ said he was. And after the rooster crowed and Peter remembered, and Peter had to deal with that fact. And when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? What a question that was. Because Peter swore allegiance. But I'm going to focus tonight on Naomi and the topic of bitterness. She said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. What is bitterness? I've gotten these definitions from some other sources. Dr. Chuck Phelps has given some clear things, and I borrowed some of these definitions and things. There's a lot of studies that could be done from Duke University and so on. I'm just going to try to crystallize some of these thoughts as we take this text for lessons to apply to ourselves. It is a well-developed dissatisfaction which robs the soul of contentment. And some of you have never been in a circumstance where there's been any reason for you to be anything but content. But one phone call can change that. One incident can change that. And you will truly be tested as to whether you are a content person or whether you are a person who is anchored with joy because of an anchored relationship with the Lord. And joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy is a reflection, a fruit of the Spirit, of an anchored relationship. And the joy never wanes, even though happiness may be gone. Because joy is an anchored relationship. It is anger fully developed. A situation can make you angry. And anger that is not dealt with can fester into bitterness and become a running sore that will go on and on. It is discontentment fully established, and it is determined disobedience. And it leads to that mentality where we begin to look and we begin to think, if this is the will of God, then I will not obey. If God tells me to give thanks in everything, I will not give thanks. Now, let's look at the sources of disobedience. Let's look in chapter 1 of Ruth. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. So, number one, there was dissatisfaction. Famine had come. And sometimes there will be a point where you will come to a situation in life and you will say, I just did not expect this at all. And you take Naomi and Elimelech, great lives. When you study their background, you study the opportunities that they had. There was not a hint of this coming into the future But now when we study the story here, there are three funerals in this chapter. We find the funeral of Elimelech, the husband of Naomi. We find Mahlon and Chilion, the sons of Naomi and Elimelech. We find three widows. And widow number one was Naomi, number two, Orpah, and number three, Ruth, the widows that were there. Then there were three reactions. Naomi had a bitter reaction. Orpah had a backward reaction. And with Ruth, it was a blessed reaction, a blessable reaction. And some get bitter, some turn and go back, and some stay focused and are blessed. And we certainly will see the end of that. Because when we look to ourselves, we're distressed. When we look to others, we're depressed. When we look to God, we're blessed. So if you want to be blessed, the gaze has to be on Him. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. We look to others, you're going to be depressed. You look at yourself, you are going to be distressed. Because there is never a total focus of satisfaction that comes in there. But we find here famine had come. And rather than trusting and waiting and resting, they take this journey 30 miles to the south. Wasn't a long, long journey, but it was a reaction that was not a right reaction. If you look at your life, what would come into your life that would bring about a potential bitterness? Is it marital? Is it no wonder that Paul instructed in the letter to the Colossians, instructing the husbands, be not bitter. 1 Peter 3:7 reminds us that we are heirs together of the grace of God. Occupational discontentment. There's some who say, God put me in a place of occupation that I don't like. I hate the job. I go there because I need the paycheck. And the attitude that comes and the bitterness that why could God have not allowed me to be in a better situation than that? It could be physical discontentment. And you could have many, many different. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for example, gives us a good reference point of what we should do regarding these type of things that come into the life. You may have gotten a physical report that has caused great distress and you cannot talk to anyone except maybe somebody who is your immediate family. And it was so shocking that you had to come to a point of absolute trust that God knows what He is doing in the midst of all of that. You know, God is more interested in our reflecting the character of Christ and things going okay for us. And we have to understand that we would all like things to be okay, but it's not always what is the best for us long term, because it is in these times of absolute crying out unto God that we learn what conformity to Christ really is about. It might be personal dissatisfaction. There's something you don't like about yourself. Something you feel like you're weak. It might be your appearance. Unfortunately, we live in the United States of America where these appearances seem to be so important. We see after dissatisfaction, there was a departure. Here's where we have to be so cautious in choices that we make. It says, and a certain man went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So what happened, the discontent that came from the famine, now there was a departure that came. And when we trust our plans more than we trust God's plans, we will find ourselves having to backtrack in a lot of things because you make a decision on the spot that is not a right decision, that is of the mind of the Lord. You made that decision out of a reaction because of a circumstance that you had at that particular point. And if we trust our plans more than God's plans, that's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Because it is the trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, which is the opposite of wisdom. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so we make a departure, and then we find disaster comes. And husband dies. Malon and Chilion die. The two boys die. Verse 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Malon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So now the boys died. And they must not have been specimens of health ever. I mean, to name one child sickly and the other child pining. But they died. Disaster comes as a result. And you know, sometimes you are going to have trials that come into the life, but they're much easier to handle when you are where God wants you to be, not when you have to be rescued from where you ran. The problem with running is you have to take you with you where you go. If you could go where you wanted to go and leave you where you are, then you would be okay when you got where you were going. But you have to take you with you. And you are the problem. So you can't, there's not a flight long enough. There's not a journey long enough to get away from you. Number one symptom of this bitterness that grew, the future seemed hopeless. Look in verse 7 and following. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on a way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye might find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and would bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me much that for your sake the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. The future seemed hopeless to her at that point. That's the first reaction sometimes. You look ahead and say, where is the hope here? And if you don't have an eternal mindset. And secondly, friends were pushed away. Friendships are one of the first things affected when bitterness takes a deep-rooted grip on your heart. And we see the verse 12. Turn again, my daughters, go your way. In other words, the two people that were closest to her, with whom she had close connection, who bore her grandsons, and yet said, no, go. Ever try to help somebody who did not want your help because of bitterness? Sometimes you will have people in your church and you know they're going through the mill, and because they have a particular resentment, they won't let you help them. They're going to bow their back and they're going to stiffen their neck and they're going to say, no, go your way. And then a flagrant blaming of God. In verse 13 and also verse 20, would you wait for them till they were grown? She said, you wouldn't hang around till I had more children so you could marry them. The end of that verse, for it grieves me much for your sake. The hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And then look also in verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. Flagrant blaming of God. Some of you have relatives who live their life angry. Some of you know friends who live their life angry. But the bottom line is they're angry at God. Then there's a flawed testimony. Look in verse 14 and 15. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. Note this, unto her gods. Return after thy sister-in-law. In other words, she said, don't follow me. I'm going back to where the God dealt bitterly with me. Go back with them and go back to your gods. Can you imagine a woman that had come from the background that Orpah or that Naomi had? When you study her background and history, even the meaning of the names that were there. What a story just in the names in this story. Naomi means pleasant one. Elimelech, my God is king. Mahlon, sick. Chilion, pining. Orpah, stubborn. Ruth, friendship. Boaz, strength. Just the names of these reflect the character. And she came out of a pleasant one heritage. And now she was in a dilemma with a flawed testimony recommending her daughters-in-law to go back to their gods. Have you ever heard somebody say, the world treats me better than Christians do? And it often will drive them into the arms of a waiting world and then a fallen countenance. I tell our students, your face is your own fault after you're 30 years old. You ever meet somebody who would, remember your mother used to say, don't look like that. Your face could get left like that. Well, some have. And they're in a lot of congregations while you're preaching. Look in verse 19. They went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? You would not have changed that much in that time. But bitterness does change the countenance of a person. And hard times do. You know, a lot of people go through hard times, but their face never changes. When you think of Cain and Abel, God asked Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Showing that was going on within. And then a false view of the past. This is very typical of bitter person. The past looks very rosy. Look in verse 21. And I went out full. And the Lord brought me back empty. If I'm not mistaken, she left because there was famine. But as she starts reviewing in the past, she is looking too far past and not remembering why they departed from where they were. But it's often that way where you look back, some of you in a very disconcerting situation, I'll look back and you think, boy, if only I had it made then. Why did I make that choice? Why did I marry that person? Why did I get involved in that? And you start looking past. David faced this in Psalm 42, 43. He had to learn that all of the memories not what he was dealing with in the present. Hope thou in God. He only is the help. And then the failure to see present blessings. Bitterness causes a person to fail to see the present blessings that you have. Have you ever just stopped to think of everything that you could list as a blessing? But the tendency is not to rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's the solution to bitterness? Number one, return to God's place. Go back to where you left. Go back to where you knew the good hand of God. Go back to the mentality. Go back to the peace. Go back to the joy. Go back to that anchored relationship with the Lord. But sometimes we forget the anchor points that we have in Him. Return to God's place and then recognize a person. In this story, Naomi had a kinsman, chapter 2 and verse 1, of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. That could be a whole nother series. The kinsman redeemer. To stop to think what that was picturing and how God was moving in such a way that God was getting Ruth ready to be placed into the line of the Messiah. You see, God has taken some horrendous circumstances and some horrible situations and turned them to beauty from ashes. And then, thirdly, adapt. Reject the fact and refuse to accept it, or accept it and adapt to it and create a new normal and say, no, this is my ministry.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on bitterness. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org. bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.